the drums and the drums, they make a lot of noise. And the drums and the drums, I like to play the drums.
Boom. Boom.
I like to whack off behind my V drums. Thank Boom. You, Roland, you're not getting them back.
808. 808-323-213-310.
I thought for a second you were giving my phone number out. I was like, dude.
Oh, hey. Oh,
shit.
Who's that?
It worked.
First time caller, long time listener.
Hey, you know what we should do? We'll get to that in a second, actually. I got to kick off the show. It's a Dangerous Darren Show, everybody. It's right here on Adobe Radio. That is TS. What's up?
What's happening?
Living a dream, buddy. Living the dream. Right here Absolutely. On Adobe Radio. We can hit us up on Twitter. It's at @DangerousD_show, which is also Instagram. @DangerousD_show. You can find TS on Twitter @BurnHwoodBurn. You can find me @Darren99. You can also find TS on Instagram @LinusDMilo. And on Instagram, I am @DarrenPfeiffer. You have a new... Instagram?
I did. I started a public one for the show and to really, I'm going for
it. Is it just Burn Hollywood Burn?
Burn Hollywood Burn was available, okay. So I had to scoop it up.
Good. Also, our friends SE Electronics gave us a couple awesome X1 microphones. Hit them up on Twitter if you get a chance, @SE_Electronics. Like I said, the Roland V drums, they're exquisite. I can find them on Twitter, @Roland_US. And when you get a chance, hit us up. @KingsCorner99, that's corner with a K, @KingsCorner99 for all your NHL and Los Angeles Kings updates. It's a Dangerous Darren Show. TS, what did you bring me today?
Cooper's Brewery, the original pale ale, family brewed.
In Australia.
Made in Australia, mate.
Ah, cheers.
Australian owned.
It looks really fucking cold.
It is cold. I put them in the freezer, man. It's hot out today, so an ice cold beer should do the trick.
Should I turn on the AC in the studio? And that's relatively cool. Are you hot?
No, I'm okay.
You okay? Turn a fan on to blow you?
Well, what? I don't know if that would make me any cooler.
Want to blow on you? So here's the idea, Tess. We've been talking about this for a while. About doing a new segment on the show called Ask TS's Mom.
Yeah.
Or Ask Darren's Mom. So, Jesus Christ. Well, that's my mom calling.
Hello.
So what we have to do is I want to call my mom.
Okay.
And then I need you to ask her advice on something. So is there something right now that's troubling you that only a mom can fix that you don't want to lean on your mom about?
Yeah, sure. Let's,
you going to tell me or are you going to surprise me?
I'm going to surprise you.
Okay. Let's do this. Let me get my mom on the phone. By the way, everybody, we got a great show.
Who's on?
We have Noodles, the guitar player from The Offspring.
Awesome.
On the show. Ran into him at the... Rock Fest in Quebec, and we had a very long, fun hang that day. They played. It was great. And I asked him, I said, hey, you want to come on my show? He's like, I'd love to. Talk punk rock, talk music in general, just shoot some shit. And also we'll play one of my favorite Offspring songs as well on the show. But TS has an issue with something in his life, so let's get my mom on the phone and see.
I briefly toured with the Offspring, so
Did
I have
you really?
Some Offspring stories to tell
oh,
later
great.
In the show.
Well, hold that thought.
All right.
Here's my mom.
We got her. She knows you're calling.
Ask Darren. Hi, Mom.
Hello.
So, Mom, I'm doing a radio show here, the Dangerous Darren Show. And you know about it, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. If you said no, I'd have been so disappointed. So we're doing this radio show, me and TS. Say hi, TS.
Hello, Darren's mom.
Hi. Did you say Jeff?
No, TS. The letters TS.
Oh, okay. Got it wrong.
TS.
Hello.
So we're launching this new segment on the show, Mom. It's called Ask Darren's Mom.
Oh, good.
Or Ask TS's Mom. Next week we'll do that. Maybe we'll do that. But so the segment is Ask Darren's Mom. And TS says there's something on TS's mind that's been bugging him that only a seasoned mother with years of motherly experience can get to the bottom and give TS some great motherly advice. Are you up for the task? Okay, here we go. TS, what's your problem?
All right. Well, recently I've had this burning sensation when I urinate.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So is there more? Is that just it, TS?
Well, I'm kind of embarrassed about it, and I don't know. I can't really tell my significant other, and I really don't want to tell my mom, even though she listens to the show, so now she knows. or will know sooner or later. So what do you think I should do? Because it's really starting to bother me.
Well, did you ever hear the initials STD?
Yes, I have.
Well, that's what I think you should go and get cleared up, honey.
So what you're saying is T.S. should bite the bullet and just go to a clinic and get definitive answers.
Yes.
Free clinic.
And stay away from his significant other until he gets cleared up.
Also, another piece of advice you might want to add, Mom, is stop hanging out with dirty women, T.S.
I didn't want to go that way, Darren. I was trying to be very nice. Now, let me be nice.
Now, T.S.'s significant other is very clean. She's very nice. She's very smart. But T.S. rolls with a lot of dirty broads.
Well, then he, like I said, he doesn't want to infect the nice one because of the bad one. So keep it in your pants and go to a doctor.
There you go. T.S., I knew she was going to say that.
That is the best advice a mom could possibly give. I really appreciate that, Ms. Pfeiffer.
I bet you do.
All right, Mom, I'll call you back. I love you.
I love you. Bye.
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 There you go, T.S. Keep it in your pants. Stop running around with dirty girls. And, get it looked at.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I need you to do me a favor.
Okay.
I need you to hold the show down for 5 seconds while I turn the AC on.
Yeah, it's getting warm in here. Okay, so on our last show, I get these random text messages from my mom. And because she listens, and we talk a lot of crazy stuff here on the Dangerous Darren Show. A lot of things that I would probably never say in front of my mom or even tell her. But now she knows exactly what's going on in my life.
Now Cupcake knows too.
And
so
Cupcake knows.
You got some explaining to do.
Cupcake doesn't listen to the show. Oh,
no?
No.
Oh, you're in a clear then. Are there any of her friends?
Yeah, they do.
Mm. Well. You know what? You could have got this burning sensation in your penis anywhere.
Anyway, I could have.
You could have got it here.
Absolutely. Just laying on the couch.
Yeah, laying on the couch, sitting on my toilet. I mean, you could have got it. You probably got it here, dude. You probably got it here. And for that, I'm sorry. So, the eclipse. What were you doing? You were up in Davey's cottage.
Oh yeah, it was
our boy Dave.
Up in Shimo's cabin up in Lake Arrowhead, and it was awesome.
Well, just you two or some other guys?
At the time, it was just us. There was another dude, Jimmy, was up there with us, but he boned out. I actually threatened to slash all of his tires so he wouldn't leave, but this was probably around 6 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, I got up during the eclipse. I ate a handful of fungus, and I proceeded to get weird during the eclipse.
What was it like? On the fungus.
It was great. I was just chilling, staring at the sky. Took some weird pictures. Dude.
Did you have glasses?
No, I made the camera. I made the pinhole.
Oh, did it work?
Yeah, it worked. It worked pretty good.
Okay.
But dude, like at the apex of the eclipse, all of these coyotes started howling, and then the neighborhood dogs started chiming in too. It was really bizarre.
It was about 10:20 in the morning
when
it was at its apex.
Yes.
For Southern California, at least.
Yes.
Up north in Oregon, they had totality.
Yeah, I remember our buddy Pat Finn.
Yeah, he's up there.
He was up there, and I was following his feed. All the pictures were coming in. Well, they got a great view in Tennessee, too.
Yeah, they did. It came right across. But started up there north and cut down and into the central part there, Tennessee, and then made its way to South Carolina and gone.
Really weird light. I mean, it was kind of cool. Even we were only at 70% here in Southern California coverage.
It got a little dark. I went to a party. There was a party in my street here. A bunch of people had chairs and there was extra glasses.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was just, it was really cool.
You live in a nice neighborhood and the people are very friendly.
Very friendly. Lots of great dogs like Stanley. How you doing, Stanley? You all right?
She doesn't even want to bother right now.
No. So good times up there then, you and Davey boy.
Oh, yeah. I barbecued.
Oh, yeah? Did you bring some food?
I grilled some steaks, made some carne asada, baked some potatoes. Dude, okay, and then...
Does Dave partake?
No. We just drank. We finished like a bottle of rye.
Jesus Christ.
The first night, got you crunk and drunks. Shit. And then he ended up leaving on Monday afternoon at some point, and I was up there by myself, which was you know, the solitude, it's a little weird, but it was very peaceful.
Yeah, it's nice up there.
Until
air is clean.
Until about
no noise.
2 o'clock in the morning, I thought I heard a fucking Sasquatch. There was something went like.
That was me to you.
That was you. You were stalking
me. I was outside your window. I drove all that way just to fuck with you.
Just
you drove all the way back. I'm outside your window. Yeah.
You should have come in.
I should have. I was
that would have freaked me the fuck out.
I knew you were high. I just wanted to fuck with you. But dude, you're up in the woods, man. There's probably all kinds of creatures crawling around around you that wanted to eat you.
There's bears. They have a picture somewhere where there were five mountain lions strolling by their cabin.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, mountain lions. Also, I mean, the coyotes.
Were you armed? Did you bring any kind of armage?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. At that point, I was locked and loaded.
Okay, good. Okay, you're not going to be a victim.
No, okay. Not at all.
Yeah, so something goes down, you're ready to rock.
I'm ready.
How many did you have, one or two?
What, just one.
You protected yourself with one.
Yeah, just one.
I don't know if we should say it, but I just want to... You were strapped.
I was strapped.
Okay, all right.
You're in the middle of the woods, man. It's a tumultuous time.
You never know. Some bear or bears come fucking pounding on your door, which could happen, dude. I'm going camping next week up in Canada, up in Algonquin Park, which is north of Toronto, about 4 or 5 hours.
Okay.
It's God's country. It's gorgeous. Lakes, canoeing, beautiful. Swimming, barbecuing, talking about hockey with my Canadian brethren, and just... lazy days of eating and talking hockey and playing poker and smoking cigars. It's just a blast. But one time about 5 years ago, then everyone's armed with bear mace and Rambo knives and we're all prepared. And one night it was late at night and I remember laying in my tent. It was a nice night. It was a little cool. And so we're laying in tent. I'm all cuddling in my blanket and we hear this like rummaging, like knocked over. And sometimes guys will get up because they can't sleep and they'll play cards or they'll read by the light, you know, the lantern. And I'm thinking, who the hell's awake? Everybody woke up the next morning and we're like, Darren, was that you? And I'm like, no. As we looked and it was a bear. Like it was clearly knocking things over randomly and looking inside of things. And our food was in the cars locked safely.
Yeah.
You know, you're not supposed to hang it up a tree like the old story because they'll climb up the fucking tree.
They have like bear lockers and things that
put it in the car. It's fine. They can't smell it in the car. It's all airtight, you know. So and then inside of a cooler inside of a car. So dude, it was a bear had literally rummaged through our site, and we all thought to ourselves, if it wanted to or she wanted to, it could have just ripped a hole through the tent one hand and grabbed me or anybody with another and been like, this looks good.
Now somebody told me that even though your tent is just a thin piece of fabric, to a bear, it's just as good as a wall.
No.
Somebody told me this.
It's Freddy Krueger. It's got razor blades.
Absolutely, but it doesn't, it's like, it's not going to try to rip open a wall.
Because it sees it as
a
barrier?
As like a barrier.
It can't see through it?
It can't like see through it. Yeah. So I don't know if that's true or not, but...
It could probably bat it and be like, what's this? And then cut it and go, oh, I can get through this. You know, they're not dumb. And then see food in there and go, oh, there's a human. I'm going to eat that human.
You're like, you're in there eating a chicken finger sub in the middle of the night. And the bear's like, chicken fingers. Rips open your tent. Accidentally mauls your face because it's covered in blue cheese and wing sauce.
I haven't been to Jim's Steakhouse in a while. Oh, good. And let's get to my chat with Noodles, original guitar player from the band Offspring. And now, you might not think Offspring are punk, but they're punk as fuck. Dude, their first couple records were pretty gnarly. And we're going to play one of their gnarlier punk rock songs. Of course, they had some pop, you know, poppy punky hits along the way. But as far as I'm concerned, they're the nicest guys. I actually tried out for them once.
Really?
Yep. I didn't get it. Adam Willard got the gig.
Oh, he's cool.
Good friend, great drummer. He got the gig because I was already in a band.
Oh, shit, dude.
Adam was not.
I teched for Adam briefly, too.
Good drummer.
Yeah,
great,
absolutely.
Great guy. Great human being. But I would have liked to have got that gig. It would have been great. Especially now, you know. But, yeah, we're going to play some Offspring a little bit later. But here is my chat with Noodles, a guitar player from The Offspring. It's on The Dangerous Darren Show. Check it out. Joined in conversation here at The Dangerous Darren Show with one of the members of SoCal punk rockers, The Offspring. I'm talking to Noodles. What's up, man?
Hey, Darren, how's it going, man?
It's going great, brother. Hey, it was really good to see you up at Rockfest in Quebec with your son. We had some really good hangs, and I do appreciate you taking the time to come on the show.
That was fun. Yeah, my pleasure, man. It's good to be here. Yeah, it was fun running into you up there. What a great weekend that was.
I know. You guys have done it before, so, I mean, you must go into this last one you had getting excited. When you've done a festival before and you know how epic it is, you go in like, oh, wow, this is going to be a lot of fun, as opposed to who knows what we're going to get.
For sure. And beside the crowd, which is just always great there, the area is just so beautiful, you know, really right there on the lake or on the river or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just gorgeous woods all around, you know, that the big log mansion that's kind of like the meeting place for everything's pretty cool. We were calling it, it's kind of like this big log castle, right? We were calling it Logworts, my son and I.
Yeah, it is very beautiful, very pristine right there on the Ottawa River. And your son was there, so he got to experience that with you. You saw a lot of old friends. It was just a great weekend.
For sure, a lot of great bands, too.
Hey, Noodles, real quick, looking back on the history of the band, 84 to 2017, that's 34 years of punk rock incredibleness. Have you ever just sat back and said to yourself, holy hell, what the heck? Wasn't I just in this band yesterday? Didn't we just start this band a couple days ago?
Yeah, you know, quite a bit. You know, it's you look back and there's moments where you just think, oh my God, yeah, how crazy is that, you know, we've done all these things, you know, and you have moments on stage where you look out and, you know, we had a moment recently where we were playing in France at a 2000, older than 2000 year old Roman amphitheater. And you just look out at this crowd and you just think, my God, I must be doing something right, you know, to be able to travel the world and get there and play for those audiences and in places like that, you know, what the hell did I do to please whatever karmic gods there are to be allowed to do what I do for a living?
Yeah,
you know? It's pretty fortunate for sure.
Do you ever look back when you're on stages and you see the crowd out there, all the people, and think, wouldn't it be great to just play Chain Reaction in front of 100 people and all sweaty and gross?
Yeah, we get to do stuff like that every once in a while. We actually did, well, I guess it's been a little while. We did a MySpace show at Chain Reaction. So that, you know, was MySpace put it on. That tells you how old that had to be. And we just announced it that afternoon and got to play there. That was a lot of fun. Every once in a while we'll do club shows. We did one for just a couple years ago we did Ignition. I think it was 25 years of Ignition, and we did a couple of shows at Alex's Bar.
It
must have been 20 years, so that had to be like 5 years ago. Jeez, I can't believe the time is flying.
What's it like when Offspring go to Long Beach and play in Alex's Bar, and it's obviously packed and hot? Is it just bananas? Is there a barricade? Is there security?
It's so fun. It's so much fun playing the smaller venues, you know, and we did a few venues like that around the world. I know we did some in Australia, some in Europe, as well as in the U.S. and Canada, I think, too. It's fun. Yeah, it's really cool because it's a smaller, we just did one up in Berkeley, actually, a benefit for Gilman Street, which was great. We didn't play at Gilman Street. We played at a club. Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the club, kind of a newer club, but not far from Gilman Street. And it was fun. Only had about 500 people there. And it's just, time goes by more slowly. You know, when you're playing with all these people, the energy is so intense. Time seems to slow down, you know, or go by really quickly, actually. Everything seems kind of like in slow motion, but at the same time, sped up. I don't know if that makes any sense. When you know, it's a lot more relaxed when you're playing a smaller venue to like 500 people. You can joke around. There seems to be more room in between the notes to noodle around, to more time to make jokes with the audience and stuff. But when you're playing the big festivals, it's almost an out of body experience. You're just there. You're playing the music. You know, you're enjoying the crowd. You're enjoying the. You're trying to get, you know, get everything to connect. And when it does, it's incredible. Huge, overwhelming feel. You know how it is.
Noodles, I was doing some research and reading up about you and the band and trying to figure out some things that I didn't know. One thing I didn't know about you in particular was back in the early days of The Offspring, you got stabbed in the shoulder by some skinheads. Is that true?
Yeah. We were playing, it was a benefit for Sane Freeze, which was an anti-nuclear proliferation organization. And Final Conflict was headlining. Bulimia Banquet was one of the bands that played. I can't remember. There was a couple others. And then us. And we played early, and then I was just drinking beer and enjoying the show, and all of a sudden a fight broke out at the door, and I went up, and there was this kind of like hippie dude with dreadlocks. I wish I could remember his name. He was a funny guy. Holding a table in front of the door, and people were kicking and shoving at the door. He ended up getting his arm broken, and I pushed the table in front, and somebody hits me in the arm. And I thought it just hit me in the arm, but it was actually a knife. He stabbed me. And I just held up my arms and looked at the guy right in the face and said, "It's over." And then he took off and ran off, and then they all ran away. And then the cops ended up finding him immediately, because then they got in a fight around the corner with somebody in a car, and the cops were just on him. So when the cops showed up, when I realized I got stabbed, I guess they called paramedics or something, and the other guy with the broken arm, too, they called paramedics for him. Cops showed up. It ended up being a big ordeal, but, yeah, I got stabbed in the shoulder, nothing too major, a few stitches.
Did he get charged? Obviously, assault with a deadly weapon?
He did. I think he ended up pleading out to something, you know.
Wow. That's crazy.
But it's funny, because his name was Kevin. And that's my real name. Nobody calls me that because I hate being called Kevin. But the guy who stabbed me, we had the same name. It's so funny. The young guys, two young guys, you know, growing up in Southern California, one guy's this Nazi skinhead and the other guy's this kind of peace punk, me. And I end up just one guy stabs the other guy. Kind of weird.
You should have said, "Hey, man, where's the Kevin Love?"
Yeah, right? Totally. Come on, man.
That's so crazy, yeah. Man. It could have gone anyway. Like, he could have stabbed you in the fucking neck or the face.
Totally, yeah.
It could have been way, way, way worse.
Say, unfortunately, he did it like kind of like a stab. He came in from the side and stabbed me in the shoulder. I think he was kind of swinging. But, yeah, if he would have hit my neck, he could have slipped my neck open. It could have been way worse. I was wearing a leather jacket, a pretty heavy leather jacket at the time, too. So.
Oh, thank God, I guess.
Hey, yeah, right? Yeah.
Noodles, I want to ask you about your opinion here about punk rock music in the late 80s and, you know, the early 90s versus punk rock today in 2017 going into 2018. Do you think that there's some of the shine is off the apple? And what I mean by that, there's just no real danger anymore. You remember the shows in L.A. back in the day? There were gangs and there were fights and you got fucking stabbed. And although danger isn't cool and violence isn't cool, but there was a sense of I'm going to a punk rock show and I don't know what's going to happen. Nowadays it's so kind of sort of
for
watered
sure.
down.
Yeah, you know, it is a little less dangerous, and I don't know if, you know, that takes the shine off the apple, like you said. You know, I go to a lot of shows now with my son, who's only 15, and I know that he could get knocked out in the pit still. You know, the pits still get moving at some of these shows, and there's elbows flying and stuff. So there's still some danger there, but I'm not too worried about him getting stabbed. You know, there's still skinheads. There's still Nazi skinheads that show up at these things, too, that just show up and want to get in fights. You know, but I don't think they're bringing knives into the clubs and stuff. So it is, I think, a little less safe, but there's still some danger involved. It's not entirely out of the woods. And I think that's part of I hate to say it, that's part of the attraction. Part of the attraction is anything could happen. You know, it could get, you know, let's go live on the edge for a little bit. That's what punk rock is all about. And once that edge is completely gone, then there is no punk rock, right?
Do you remember the days back then going to shows and thinking, who knows, man? And walking up to a show and seeing a bunch of skinheads or seeing the Suicidals or seeing whoever or whatever
guy. For sure, yeah. Like, oh. Well, you know, we had the LMP. The LMP out here were probably the gnarliest guys. And they didn't really have a uniform, you know, like the Skins did, the Sueys did. You know, but the LMP just they kind of blended in. They didn't all look the same, you know. So they just kind of look like punks, you know, amongst themselves. So you never knew. You whenever you saw a group of people, you didn't know who you were messing with.
When you went to
so,
shows,
yeah, you kind of
when you played shows with the Offspring back then, or went to shows with the guys in the band. Was it like I'm just gonna be a fly on the wall and not be too, you know? Because you never knew who was going to start swinging or when someone was going to pull out a weapon.
Yeah, no, I wish. Maybe I wouldn't have got stabbed. I have a big mouth, especially after beer, you know, and I always love beer. Right now I'm giving myself a break of the beer stuff, but I always love beer. And I have a big mouth to begin with. I had a bunch of beer. It gets even bigger.
Yeah. That leads me to my next question, Noodles. What are you afraid of? Like, what's the one thing in life that just petrifies you?
Oh, gosh. Probably being complacent, you know, not doing things because I am too afraid to go out and do them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I don't know what I'm doing. I guess that's the biggest thing, fear of not knowing what I'm doing and letting that keep me from going out and doing shit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let's just because I don't know what I'm doing doesn't mean I shouldn't maybe go out and try or learn or, you know, experience things. You know, whether it's just, you know, whatever, taking a bike ride up the river trail or something. You know, I don't really know where I'm going. Maybe I shouldn't go that way. Nah, fuck it. Take the bike, go up there.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you just got to, like, as you get older, you got to paint outside the lines and try things that purposely make you uncomfortable because...
Exactly, especially as you get older, because it's so easy to become complacent.
Yeah.
You know, you get so used to the things you like, you know what you like, you know, put on your slippers and your pajamas and don't go anywhere because that's comfortable, right? You know?
Hey, Noodles, what made you, do you remember going back, what made you actually look at the guitar and say, that's what I want to play, that's the instrument I want to play? And once you had that guitar in your hand, what made you gravitate towards punk rock music and being the Offspring?
Yeah, the guitar probably, my dad played a little bit. He played more like classical and flamenco style, Spanish style guitar. I remember him playing like Malagueña, you know, but he was never accomplished and he didn't play that much. We had a cousin who was a real hellraiser and troublemaker, and he had to come live with us for a while because my aunt kicked him out of the house. And he played guitar, and so it was kind of like when I was a little kid, and so like playing guitar was cool. It was what my, you know, older drug addict, derelict cousin did, you know. And so I always, you know, liked guitar. I always thought it was cool. And then when I heard, you know, the Ramones and the Dickies and the Sex Pistols, it was all over. You know, it's like, oh, man, what is this? You know, this is, you know, I still love The Who and I still love The Stones, you know, and Jimi Hendrix. But what is this? This is another level. Great. You know, this is, that music just grabbed me. You know, TSOL. The Dance With Me record just grabbed me.
When you and Dexter and Greg and when you were recording the record Smash, or when you were writing the record in the rehearsal spaces, and it was finally done, and you had a body of work, and you were in the studio and tracking it, and when it was all said and done, was there a moment when you and the guys actually said, "Wow, we actually might have a pretty good kite here that could get pretty high up in the air"? Did you know you had a smash, for lack of a better term, on your hands, or was it just another recording that you hoped did well?
It was another recording that we hoped did better than Ignition. You know, this was our third full-length record at the time. And I think we were all guessing, like, you know, I think Ignition was at, like, 40,000 copies worldwide, you know, sold. And we were like, this is going to double that. This is going to do, like, 70,000 to 80,000. I think Greg Kay went, he was the highest guest. He's like, no, man, it's going to do, like, 100, and I'm going to guess 140,000 copies worldwide, you know. That was right after we had just gotten back from touring Europe with NOFX and realized, man, there's people over here that know some of our songs. They were singing along to stuff off Ignition. So we knew that there's people out there that were into what we were doing. We had no idea, you know, what was about to happen. No idea. And the way we wrote that record, really, Dexter wrote almost all of it driving back and forth to school up at USC in L.A. And he would write it, like, while he was driving in his piece of crap truck that he still has, actually, by the way. And then we got together and we started rehearsing, and some of the songs changed a little bit in rehearsal, and then they changed a little bit more in the studio. But we showed up pretty much ready to record those songs because studio time was expensive and we didn't have money to pay for it. You know, we did everything really on the cheap back then.
So it begs the question, how the hell do you write a song driving anywhere?
Yeah, Dexter, well, that's the thing. Dexter wasn't paying attention to driving. He's a terrible driver. That's the song Bad Habit is because people were throwing shit at him. People were flipping him off and throwing shit at him because he'll be in the fast lane writing a fucking song, you know, in his truck. Oh, my God.
Did he have a guitar in his hand or something? While he's driving?
What's that?
Was there a guitar in his hand while he's driving a car?
No. He would kind of, like, just kind of, you know, drum out a beat with his hands on the dashboard. He'd have a hook his thumbs on the steering wheel and, like, kind of pound out a beat on the dashboard and kind of sing along in his head, you know, and then he would come and put the guitar to it later.
Wow.
Really. So really it started with, you know, melody and drums, you know, then go home and see how to do it on the guitar.
Hey, did Dexter ever tell any stories along the way of him getting pulled over by a cop and the cop recognizing him and then asking him, "Hey, what's in your glove box?"
No, I don't see. I don't think that's ever happened.
I've always wanted to know if that ever happened.
Yeah, I think he would have told me if that had happened. But.
Hey, Noodles, tell me what's a band that you like or listen to that you would or might shock people if they knew that you liked this band or artist.
Yeah, there's
a guilty pleasure song.
I was thinking about this. Yeah, stuff that, and you're almost like embarrassed to admit that you kind of like this stuff, right?
Yeah.
So there's a band out of San Diego called Steam Powered Giraffe. They started out kind of like as a mime and minstrel sort of show at they would just busk for money at the zoo, I think, down there, San Diego Zoo. San Diego Zoo finally put them on a real stage and paid them to do their stuff.
Wow.
So, and I think they're pretty cool. They got a couple of cool songs, very interesting group. It's really, it's two siblings, and then they've had other people kind of change in and out of the band.
Then
another one is, I don't know if you've hit to this clown, Puddles Pity Party.
What's
Are you
it
familiar
called?
With him at all?
What's it called?
He's Puddles Pity Party.
Oh, the guy that dresses as a clown and does a comedy skit?
Yes, exactly. It's a comedy skit. It's almost kind of like, you know, in a way, like Blue Man Group has this, you know, they're reacting to everyone's reactions, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. He's got this clown makeup on. He's, again, also a mime, you know, mute, except for when he sings. He's got this really almost operatic kind of voice.
Yeah, I saw him with the Roxy.
You know, yeah, there's a couple of great songs. He actually covered one of Blink-182 songs. I know he does a good version of that. I think his version of Mad World with Haley Reinhardt's really good.
Wow.
And then he does 21 Pilots, Stressed Out, and that's actually a really cool version of that. So.
Noodles, give me a band, like, that would really shock me or people. Like, for me, it's like, I like Cisco and Right Said Fred. You know, I listen to it, or Ace of Base. That's another good one. I listen to it. I'm like, you know, I don't care. Fuck it. I'm going to sing along to I Saw the Sign.
Right. I guess Lady Gaga. I like Lady Gaga a lot. So.
She's pretty punk.
Yeah.
I mean, she loves metal. She's a huge metalhead. She loves, like, Anthrax and Slayer and
Is
shit.
Is she? Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I'm not surprised. She kind of reminded me of, like, when she first came out of Cross between, you know, like, Marilyn Manson and Christina Aguilera or something like that.
Anybody,
you know,
that wears a meat suit is pretty punk, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Hey, Noodles, before I let you go, what's going on with The Offspring this fall? I know you guys are working on some new music, right?
Yeah, so we just finished up a tour with Sublime in North America, but we've got another one in the fall in September. The last one was mostly all Canadian dates, which was great. The crowds were amazing. Then we've got one coming up in September, starting in September in the U.S. Looking forward to that again. And then all of August is pretty much in Europe and all over Europe.
Awesome. Wow, man. Well, travel safe. I wish you and your family and everybody the very, very, very best. And I'm sure our paths will cross sooner than later.
I hope so. It's always good running into you, Darren.
There it is, my chat with Noodles, guitar player from OC punk rock band, The Offspring. Love The Offspring.
Great guys.
Did you work with that band too?
I did. Let's see. Donnie Spada got me my gig.
Yeah, Donnie.
And I was doing drums for their old drummer, Ron.
Ron Wentley.
Yes. And, man, we had a lot of fun. We did. It was like an arena tour. We had a lot of one in a row. So we'd have these designated drinking days where, after the show, we'd go to one of the local bars. They'd throw down the black Amex card, and the band and the crew would just get after it. And much debauchery happened. And
wow,
it was a good time.
Also, bottle after bottle.
Well, oh yeah, just taking them down.
And you safely got back to the, and you had to show the next day, so everyone
no,
was all destroyed.
There was no shows the next. There was like only on if there was no show the next day,
so you could recover.
So we could recover.
Wow.
And usually, like, and we were staying in like these really nice hotel rooms. It was awesome. Well, they had one more. They had this another awesome game. If we didn't go to a hotel, we'd go back to one of the band's suites and we'd party there, full spread always. But they had this little game called It was called Mini Bar Roulette. So they'd order one of their crew to grab a pillowcase and empty their mini bar into the pillowcase, and then they shake it up, and anybody that was still standing at the party had to grab a bottle out of the pillowcase and drink it, no matter what it was.
If you didn't like it.
You had to drink
tough
it.
Tough shit, drink it.
So sometimes you got Kahlua, sometimes you got Gordon Gin, occasionally you get Jack Daniels.
And you get gulped the whole thing, a little bottle.
Mini bar bottle, and you'd have to take it.
Like an ounce or two?
You know, whatever a little shot, little mini bottle shot is.
That's cool.
It was cool. I love it. It was one of my favorite games.
Good guys. I love the Offspring. They're always fun to hang out with. Going to come back on the other side. Going to have a little more. Actually, I'm really a little low on Coopers. Got some more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll talk some shit. I got a show to promote with me and Greg Hudson. Hang tight.
iDobe Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Dangerous Darren Show on iDobe Radio every single Tuesday at 4 o'clock Pacific and 7 o'clock Eastern on Twitter and on Instagram. You can find us. It's easy at DangerousD_Show. TS is on Twitter at BurnHWoodBurn. I'm at Darren99. You can find TS on Instagram at LinusDMilo. And I'm at Darren Pfeiffer. Also, hit up us on Instagram, RTS, at BurnHollywoodBurn, the long way. Thanks to Noodles for coming on the show. And you got me another Coopers, right?
Yes, more Coopers. You know, there's no additives or preservatives, so there's less hangover.
Wow. Is that what does the hangover?
Yeah, it's all those...
No, hangover is just a loss of water.
I swear it helps. It helped me in Australia. Cheers. I don't know. Maybe it was mind over matter. Cheers to you.
Maybe you drank a lot of water.
I doubt it. I don't think
this is a block of ice.
I put them in the freezer so they get colder.
Well, let's give it a minute.
All right.
I thought I got some left in this one. So, TS, I got a show to promote. Punk and Pins. It is a bowling and punk rock extravaganza happening at Lucky Strike on the corner of Hollywood Boulevard and Highland, right there in beautiful downtown Hollywood, California. Mr. Greg Hudson from Circle Jerks and Bad Religion and Punk Rock Karaoke fame is going to be spinning some punk rock classics with myself from about 9 till, I don't know, 1 or so. There's cheaper bowling if you show up. The bowling's a little bit cheaper. Drink specials, and of course, classic old school punk rock from Mr. Greg Hudson, and I'll play some of the newer stuff and a little bit of the old as well. And it's just fun. It's punk rock. It's bowling. It's happening every second Thursday of the month. So starting on the 7th of September, and then the 14th, and then going into October. You know, the second and third. Second and fourth, every other fucking Thursday. It's basically how it works out of every month.
Well, it says right here, the first and third Thursday of every month.
Yeah, I got it wrong.
You did. So
I did. I don't even know my own event.
we'll post it up on our Instagram and Twitter and all that good stuff.
First and third.
The Thursday.
The 7th and the 14th of September, the first two.
Every month. $5 yeah. games of bowling and beer specials.
Yep, it's going to be great.
At the Lucky Strike. The place is cool, man. It's got a cool vibe.
Yeah, they got a good stage, they got good sound, they got good people, it's a great location, you can see it's right there on the corner, you can take an Uber home or get on a subway. If you're in a valley, go right back to the valley. It's if you're downtown, take the subway right downtown. It's just great and easy, super easy.
And you know what? You can go to their smoking section and smoke the devil's lettuce. They're
never
totally
heard that
cool.
Before, TS. The devil's lettuce?
The devil's lettuce.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're totally cool. It's friendly.
I really wish I had some of this beer right now. Oh, hey. I got it.
That's more of a Cooper's Brewery Pale Ale slushy.
Playing some shows with the Dickey soon, TS.
Really?
Yep, I got a couple shows. Their drummer is having a baby. And he's going to be unavailable for a few shows. And I believe I'm playing the NoFX Punk and Drublic Brew show in Huntington Beach with them.
What is that?
It's
What's that all about? Brewfest?
Well, it's NoFX are having this beer called Punk and Drublic.
Okay.
And we're getting a six-pack.
Awesome.
They're going to send us a six-pack when it's ready in late September.
Is it the same people that brought us the Real Big Fish brew and the Motorhead brew?
No, different that's people. That's different people. Yeah, and there's also a Pennywise beer called Pennywiser. They're sending that to us as
awesome.
Well. So we're getting a lot of alcohol soon.
Very cool.
We're going to check it out. But there's a series of shows you're doing, and Goldfinger are on it. And John is a massive Dickies fan. He almost joined the Dickies before Goldfinger. So he'll be on the side of the stage watching me rock out the Dickies Classics.
So I should be out there with my sign that says...
I want you to tech for me that day.
Okay.
Come tech for me that day.
All
just, right. Just be fun.
That'll be fun. Okay, I'm down.
Did that say what happened at Rockfest? I don't know if I talked about this.
Was there a sign involved?
There was not a sign. No, there was a sign. Someone had a sign, but that's not what I want to talk about. I was backstage to see Mike Herrera and Phil from Story of the Year.
Uh-huh.
Phil Snead. And who else was on drums? It was Cyrus Balocki from Newfound Glory.
Yeah.
Playing drums on this particular Goldfinger show. And he thought I was going to beat him up. And I was like, dude, why do you think I'd be mad at you? He's like, well, you know, I don't know how you'd feel about it. And I go, dude, I don't care. I don't want to be in a band. And if anybody's going to be in a band, it's going to be someone I like. And I like you. So congrats. He's like, oh, that's a big load off my mind. Anyway, I'm talking to the guys, Herrera and Cyrus and stuff. And then John's tech comes up to me and goes, John wants you out of his sight. He was in a tent getting his suit on and his in-ears put on. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, he wants you out of his sight. I'm
getting
sorry.
Getting his vagina waxed.
I go, I'm sorry, dude. And he goes, I'm sorry, dude. I go, tell him to go fuck himself. he goes, I can't tell him that. Okay, no, I know you're right. Tell him that if he wants me out of his sight, that he has to be a man and tell me himself. And he goes, okay.
All right.
So he goes back in and whispers in John's ear, and John doesn't do anything. And John, I watched them from the side stage, but not on the stage, from the bottom. And they were pretty fucking sloppy. And they were pretty, I mean, no diss on Cyrus, but I don't know if he's that guy. You know, I don't know if he's that punk rock guy. But it was just, John was sloppy. In my opinion, the whole thing was just a big, big mess. And there were some signs, and it was just it was an awkward experience. So I'm looking forward to it, round two.
Another one.
It's going to be fun.
Well, the punk rock community is a small community. You're bound to run into each other repeatedly over and over and over throughout the years.
Well, luckily he lives in Calabasas, so I don't see him too much.
Yeah, okay.
So, John's big time, dude. He's a big deal.
Yeah, for real.
How's Scott the Cooper's? Yet?
Yeah, we're good. Right. We're good. Cheers.
Oh, no, you're way liquidier than me.
I stuck my finger in the bottle.
you lubed it up?
Yeah. Just poke it. There you go.
So we had fun at the Tony Hawk Birdhouse skateboarding party last Friday.
That was awesome.
That was fun. The premiere of Saturdays, their new video.
You have to check it out. Buy it when it comes out.
The whole team was there. It was just a blast. And it was my girlfriend didn't have a lot of fun.
But, not a big skater.
But you went solo,
yeah.
The three of us, and we had a blast. It was a cool video.
Dude, and basically, if you're not jumping off houses or putting yourself into, like, grave danger, then you're basically a pussy and not you will never be a pro skater if you're not endangering your health and well-being.
You know, when we were kids, we were younger, I should say, when we were skateboarding up and down the streets of Buffalo, we'd ollie off this or ollie off that or, you know, a set of stairs or a railing or you know, something, you know, we thought that was crazy. Like, oh, wow, you're rolling down 5-6 stairs? That's nuts.
Yeah.
You know, a potted field, you know, like those stairs. Or the ones, M&T Bank on Main Street downtown. Like, look, those big steps. You get some speed and you ollie just right and you'd land it. It felt great if you landed it. Most of the time you bailed. Or the railing, if you fucked up a railing and rolled over it and rolled on the stairs. we thought that was nuts.
Yeah,
you know,
totally
we thought
crazy.
Some of the things that these guys did, our friends Jeremy and Ralph, like, who were really good skaters, we thought it was crazy. But you're right. Now guys are ollieing off of roofs, straight up, just off the roof and onto the pavement, or down insane amounts of stairs, double sets of stairs.
I mean, I'm not even sure which skater it was doing, like, a boneless off of, like, some, like, waterway LA River dam or...
Yeah.
I don't even know,
yeah,
dude.
One misstep, one wrong judgment and speed, and you're dead.
They're basically... They're basically stuntmen.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. Watch these dudes, like, fall on their just belt, like, slamming hard after doing. They get right back up and try it again.
We did too, though.
We did. We did.
And now they're also doing certain tricks with excessive speed, where they're getting speed from motorcycles, where they're like skiing in the back of a motorcycle just so they can get up to speed to do this insane ollie, or just hit this ramp just right to go far. It's like. It's extreme skateboarding at its best. It's awesome.
Good times.
We're going to take a break. Going to come back on the other side. Going to drink some more Coopers. TS brought a can opener with a beer opener thing on it. That's how he opened the Coopers. And I'm pretty sure I can find a way to hurt him with it.
Dude, I might try to circumcise you with this.
Well, you're the one with the burning and the pee thing. Maybe I'll try to fix you up with that thing. Man. Hang tight, everybody.
See you. iDobe Radio. iDobe Radio.
It is the Dangerous Darren Show, and it's on iDobe Radio. Jazz hands. Dangerous Darren Show on iDobe, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. That is TS. What's up?
What's happening?
I'm Darren Pfeiffer. You can hit us up on Instagram and on Twitter. Please hit us up. We'll hit you back. Dangerous D underscore show, both Instagram and on Twitter. And TS is on Twitter at Burn H Wood Burn. I'm at Darren99. And you can find TS on Instagram at Linus DeMilo, DeMilo, or at Burn Hollywood Burn, one whole word. And I'm on Instagram at Darren Pfeiffer. Thanks again to our friends at SC Electronics and Roland Drums. Also, TS, the show is brought to you by Rapid Machine Gun Fire. What? Check this out. There you go.
Rapid machine gun fire.
That
Thank
was me.
You.
I actually recorded myself with my machine gun.
Out in the streets of West Hollywood.
Yeah.
The mean streets of West Hollywood.
Yeah, the mean street. You get jacked in the mean streets of Hollywood.
When you're in West Hollywood, you can best watch your back.
And when you're in West Hollywood. What happened to that band, dude?
I don't know, man. One of those dudes does porn for a
Evan,
yeah.
The bass player.
Yeah.
He dated or married a porn star and got him into porn. But his dick wasn't that big. I remember like seeing a video and was like, "All right, it's, you know, normal size."
You know, I guess it gives hope to the average man in the world that you can
It's funny,
porn.
Dude. I see a lot of porn these days with guys that have just normal dicks. It's normal now to see normal dick porn.
Because
it gives you hope.
Gives you hope.
If this porn star can get off with a normal size or a little dick, there's hope for me.
Let's hear it for the average male penis.
Yeah.
Yay. What do we do?
I don't know. We're going to play some music.
Oh, yeah. Let's play some music.
Was that about dicks? We're going to go right into the offspring. And who are not dicks? They're actually really nice and really, really smart dudes. Thanks again to Noodles for coming on the show. Here's a song they made me learn, and when I went to the rehearsal, I smoked it because pretty easy, for me at least. It's a song called All I Want. It's really fast, and after I played it, I go, I love that song. They're like, we picked that just so we make sure you could play punk rock. And dude, some of the stuff with the Dickies is a lot more challenging than this, but still, I just loved playing the song. I just loved some of the parts on it. It's just a good, short, right to the point punk rock song. It's called All I Want. It's the Offspring, and it's on the Dangerous Darren Show.
Okay. Yeah. Day after day, you're a life wreck. The powers that be just breathe down your neck. You get no respect.
You get no relief.
You gotta speak up and yell out your grief.
So back off the rules, back off the job, cause I'm sick of not living to stay alive. Leave me alone, I see it a lot. I don't wanna be controlled. It's all I want. It's all I want. It's all I want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Music from The Offspring and All I Want. Yeah.
Woo.
That's good stuff. What's going on in the world of weed, TS?
Well,
hashtag weed news.
Hashtag weed news. I got a few things, but I don't know if this is just some interesting developments in the world of weed today.
There's always movement and shaking, right?
Yeah, there's always something happening. But let's see. Okay, so get this. A top biblical scholar says Jesus smoked weed to speak with God.
Hold on a second. A top biblical scientist?
Biblical scholar.
Scholar, okay.
Scholar. So in his new book, Speaking to God Through Cannabis, A New Understanding of the Word of Christ, psychoanalyst and professor of theology at Boston University argues that Jesus Christ was a frequent smoker of weed, which he used to speak with God. In his new book, Ralph Hines tries to abolish the perceived myths in modern Christianity that psychedelic drugs and the worshiping of God are antagonistic. But he says most stories in the Bible are clearly about hallucinating on cannabis, be it visions of angels, of the Lord, or Yahweh in the midst of clouds. Not even sure what that is, but I don't know. Apparently people were hallucinating. So
what kind of weed were they smoking?
So apparently there was oils back in the day, and cannabis was frequently used in incense, possibly hallucinogenic psychedelic drugs, mushrooms, or possibly that they were just drinking a lot of wine. So
this is the Middle East too, TS. I mean, yeah. There could have been opiates around.
There could have been opiates. Also, the original strains, like the Kush, that were in the Hindu Kush Mountains in the Middle East. So that's where the original Kushes came from, the Middle East.
Are they really strong?
They were probably very strong. They probably weren't as strong as they were today, but I'm sure everybody's tolerance was much lower. They weren't dabbing back then. So... Ralph Hines says, I think it's clear for anybody that reads any passage in the Bible that the prophets and the apostles spent most of their time hallucinating on psychedelic drugs, totally baked or drunk on wine. And he says there's no need to judge them or paint these characters as saints or demons. They were just good old boys having a good old time.
Wow.
So, you know, like I said, at the time, cannabis-infused incense was common during most religious ceremonies. And cannabis oil played a huge role in religious ceremonies.
So basically, the stories in the Bible might just have been highly concentrated marijuana-fueled visions.
Yes.
And that the burning bush would have been, like, maybe tried to light a bowl and drop match.
And
and the bush is on fire.
It is possible.
And the apostles are like, oh my God, the burning bush, write it down.
Burning.
This is a big deal.
So
Jesus was a pothead.
It's possible. And there's possibly some mistranslations of the Hebrew word for cannabis, which is kenen bosom, which could have been mistaken for other plants or calamus or aromatic cane. But
I wonder if there's other misquotes from Jesus. Like Jesus said, I come in peace. What if he was just wanting to get a piece of ass? Like, hey, can I get a piece? And they're like, oh, Jesus always wants to come in peace. And he's like, no, can I get a piece? And they're like, yes, Jesus, peace. Peace to you too. He's like, ugh. Just give me some Doritos.
So Professor Ralph Hines also argues that certain passages of the New Testament, such as Apocalypse of John and Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, cannot be simply explained by the use of cannabis, but the heavy indulgence of alcohol, such as wine, may better be explained through the use of psychedelic drugs. Anyway.
Bottom line, Jesus probably smoked weed.
Yes, absolutely.
Which means if he smoked it a little bit, he smoked it a lot.
That's right.
And all these Bible quotes are from Reefer Madness.
Exactly. So I think it was Jesus that said, smoke weed every day. There you go. Hashtag weed news.
There you go. TS, this show just whipped right by. We have to go. Like, I can't believe how quickly this show happens today, this week.
Just
craziness.
Like that. Just like that, man.
Well, fucking noodles took up the whole show.
Thanks, Noodles.
Yeah, thanks again, Noodles, for coming on the show. Appreciate that. On Twitter and on Instagram, folks, both at DangerousD_show. I'm going to Canada next week, so no show. A repeat. What should we do? Let's do Chino.
Yeah,
from Deftones.
We haven't heard from Chino.
That was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one. We'll put him on the show, Ed. We'll talk to Chino. For our good friends at Roland Drums, for our good friends at Pfeiffer Wines, our good friends at SC Electronics, thanks for the Coopers TS.
Yeah, cheers.
Appreciate that. I'm going to be gone next week up north in Canada. I might die.
Enjoy. Enjoy your time.
And I got to think of a good question for your mom next week.
All right.
Well, not the week after next.
We'll get her on the line.
And get your shit checked out, dude.
I will.
Cheers.
Cheers to you.
Smoke them if you got them.
Stay trippy, motherfuckers.